Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is JD of JD's Man Cave, and we're here again tonight on a Saturday night, 7 o'clock as usual. We have some hot topics coming up tonight, and I have a couple of my guests going to be joining in a few minutes. But until then, we'll sit around and talk about the events that have been going on in the past couple of days. We have had an eventful week this week. And there's only about 30 days left before the November elections. And I hope that you're registered to vote and ready to go and vote. Early voting starts in a week or so, I think. And we need to get out and make our voices heard this year. Because we got a lot of work to do as a country. We got a lot of healing to do. A lot of mishaps have happened under this legislature, and we need to get it out of there. We need to get some things straightened out, as they say in a old blues song, let's straighten it out. Let's get out there and straighten it out, man. That's what I'm looking forward to. If you have to grab somebody and take them with you to the polls, I'm not really telling people who to vote for, but I just want you to vote. You know, it's just a crying shame that we have been subjected to the idiot that we've had for the last 4 years. So that tells you where my vote is going to be going. But I'm not trying to influence anyone. I'm just making sure that we, as a black people, get out and use our power, because black voting is a privilege and an honor, and it has been bought with blood, sweat and tears, and a lot of protesting and marching. And we stand on the shoulders of those that came before us, and we need to make a good showing at the polls to let them know that we are still here, we're not going anywhere, and our vote and our voice does matter. So let's get out there and vote. Get yourself registered, get out there and take care of your business. But nonetheless, let's get started with one of today's topics. I want to talk about the fact that this president and his wife have come down diagnosed with COVID-19, the same disease that he said was a hoax, that it's not that, you know, not that tragic of an event. And we have only had 200,000 people in the United States to die. I say there's 200,000 people too many. And a lot of, you know, he wants to downplay it and act like that's not a lot of people. But if it was one of your family members, it's one too many. So let's just understand that this pandemic that hit the United States was forecast and was being prepared for by the previous president, Barack Obama. But because Barack had set up a contingency plan for this pandemic, and it was done by Barack, Donald Trump saw fit to dismantle that panel that was in place to fight such a pandemic and to totally ignore the forecast, so to speak, that a pandemic was possible of epic proportions. And we actually have to understand that it is a fool who does not heed warnings, especially educated warnings. When someone tells you something and they are educated and have the facts in place and you still ignore the warnings, then you by far are a fool. And you ended up making a fool out of the entire United States and costing so many lives that did not have to be lost. But that is who we ended up in the White House, because we as black folks and majority of the United States chose not to get out and vote and make our voice heard. So we need to make sure that we get our behinds out of the house this year and get in the car or mail it in, or however you're going to get your vote in, but just make sure you get your vote in. Because I have personally voted since I was 18 years old in every election that I'm eligible to vote in. And I refuse to not make my voice heard, because if I get ready to complain, I want to at least say, hey, that's not who I voted for. But if you don't get out and vote, and then you sit back and complain about what's going on in your life and what's happening in this country, then you already nullified yourself. So, as they say, ain't no crying after the party over. After the party over, don't start crying. You should have got there early and got you a drink or two if that's what you wanted to do. But they done put all the bottles up now, so ain't no crying. You just stay drunk, sit on the sideline, and be quiet. Yeah, that's how it's going to work. But, yeah, we have a president in there who has been diagnosed with COVID-19, and they test these guys every day, so in the White House. So, and then Trump talked about this vaccine that he wants everybody to try that's supposed to be so effective. Yet, why isn't he taking it, or why hadn't he taken it if it's so effective? And he ends up with COVID-19. He also was one who laughed about people wearing masks and mocked the process of wearing masks, and said people wearing masks look stupid. Now who's looking stupid? You know, I wear a mask everywhere I go. I just had a COVID test 2 days ago, and it came back negative. So who's the dummy now, Donald? You know, so you have to ask yourself, when you are a person who does not heed warnings and does not follow safety protocols and are blatantly ignorant in situations, how well do you think you can run the country? If you can't even govern your own household and keep your own self safe, I don't feel safe with you as the president. That's just my personal opinion. And I think that he is by far the dumbest and most idiotic president that we've ever had in the White House. And America should be ashamed of who we allow to be voted into the presidency. He has made a complete mockery of our democratic system, and he does nothing procedure-wise that has ever been done before. He does not follow procedures. He does not follow protocol. He does not follow, what do they call him? He does not follow tradition, and he does not dictate what a president should be. He is by far just an idiot in office. So we will get past this, with God and us getting out voting. You know, but there was an opportunity that God saw fit to show us just how the heartbeat of America is. Donald Trump represents what the true feelings of America on the underground level. You know, when he came out with all his racist rhetoric, all of his propaganda, all of his hate speeches, you saw racists and hate groups coming out of the woodworks. You know, you saw these videos of these white guys getting knocked out, you know, running their mouth, thinking it was okay because Donald Trump was in the office, that they can call black people out of their names and use racial slurs, and just so much came out. You know, and that's really a underlying culture that was going on in the United States. And because so many black people had made $1.50 over bus fare, they felt that we had made it as a race. But God had to let us know that we still have a lot of work to do. And the United States is still as racist, if not more racist, than it's ever been. We end up, being, what do they call it? Discriminated and battered and brutal, you know, police brutality, and all these different things have come out over this last 4 years. Now, we as a black people have to get out and vote, make our voice heard, make our power felt, And the thing about it is, we have, with this upcoming election, we have two things that can happen. Either he can end up back in office again. We can sit back and relax, and he can end up back in office again, and we can show that America is truly racist by the culture. Their heart is racist, and the core of the United States is racist. We can show that by not getting out and vote, or we can actually get out and vote and prove that America is who we say we are, that we are a melting pot, a land of opportunity, home of the free, land of the free, home of the brave. We can actually show that that is our true culture and our true heartbeat, or we can keep this same idiot in the office and prove that we have no backbone and no progress has been made in the United States. This is a man who spoke of hate, you know, prior to, you know, his hate rhetoric was blatant throughout his complete campaign. And we have not survived this at all. We have actually had some tragedies that happen, and policies have been put in place that make it harder for blacks and other races in this country to function and to move forward. We need to get somebody in office who will help push some of our agenda. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to push all of our agenda, because we have struggled for decades, centuries even, and we are still behind the eight ball as a race, but at least we'll be able to function in the United States with some form of, I don't know, I mean, some form of where we can make it. I mean, where it's just that we can feel that we have an opportunity, and opportunities are afforded to us as a black race. Yes, ma'am.
Take a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
What
we got
do
a question.
Think about these black women for Trump and other African Americans who are stating they are voting for Trump?
Well, it's funny that you ask. No, when you are an idiot, you follow an idiot. And the thing is, these are the same black people who would have been on the plantation snitching. No, they would have been on the plantation saying, well, at least Massa don't beat us on Sunday. He beat us Monday through Saturday, but Sunday he takes the day off and don't beat us as bad. We don't have to eat. We at least we eat, you know, we eat the slop, but we eating. You know, these are black people who have a defeatist mentality. We have been taught to try to please master, try to appease master. We sympathize and empathize with master rather than sympathizing and empathizing with the struggle that all black people are under. We have to understand that until all black people are afforded an equal opportunity and have access to the same financial, educational, you know, same living quarters as white society has, we haven't made it. When we are still 400 and some odd years behind. They had a 400 and some odd year head start on us before we were financially able to get a piece of the American pie. And still, even at that, they have put up walls and fences for us to have to jump, and hoops we have to jump through, fire rings and all that, that we have to jump through to receive the same thing that white people will receive with a minimal effort. We have to give above and beyond the call of duty to get things to move and shake for us. We are discriminated and pushed out of financial situations that could better our community, our homes, our families. We are discriminated against in so many educational endeavors that we are not afforded. So we have to understand that we are behind the eight ball when it comes to so many things. For a black person to support someone whose agenda truly speaks to suppressing us even more, then I don't know what else to call you but stupid as hell. I mean, that's just plain and simple. I don't know. You know, I could be wrong. Maybe it's something I'm not seeing. I'm the foremost authority on nothing, but I do know a racist when I see one. And I know that racism affects me directly and indirectly, and it's going to affect our children and generations to come if we keep voting these same type of clowns in this office.
Bernard Lane says, we as black people are fighting two races, European and the black race.
Exactly. Well, let me explain something to you, Bernard. I understand exactly what you're talking about. And Europeans, you know, they by nature are against us. We have been villainized since the time we got off the boat over here as black people. So I understand where their hate has been passed down generation to generation. But you have to understand that the hate of black people upon black people has been passed down from generation to generation. We were taught during slavery to hate one another. They divided us with divisiveness, light skin against dark skin, you know, field slave against house slave, man against woman. They divided us so many different ways that we hate one another with a passion. And the thing about it is, I have always said this, black people gonna be all right. It's them niggas that's in trouble. Niggas not gonna make it. And to me, nigga is not a color. Nigga is a mentality. You know, we were taught that nigga was our color. No, that is not your color, brother. Nigga is a mindset, a thought process. It is a way of being that self-mutilates and self divisive. It is self-hatred. It is self-misery. And we have so many blacks, whites, even, you know, all of these that are in our society. And we have to deal with that as black people. That, you know, I give people an opportunity at face value to prove to me who they are. But once I see who you are, I deal with you accordingly. So we have to understand, Bernard, that we have a fight, and I know you know it as a black man in America, because you come from the same hood. I've been knowing you forever, Bernard. So we come from the same place. We know that it is a hell of a job just to be a black man and go outside in our neighborhood and make it to our age day after day, not to be dead, incarcerated, you know, hurt, injured, you know, had a fatal, you know, be limping or hurt, you know, gunshot wounds and all that. I've never experienced that. And I grew up in the same hood you did. So we know what it takes just to be a black man and what we're fighting against anyway. So let's just understand that we have to fight a lot, brother. That's one thing I tell black men, the hardest job you're going to ever have is being a black man. We have to fight, 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 brother. And we have enemies coming from every direction. Sometimes our biggest fight is internal. We fighting ourselves and the you know, the things we put ourselves through. We end up being drug addicts. We end up being alcoholics. We end up being whoremongers. You know, we do so many self-defeatist things that take us out of the game. That's why I hate Bernard, when I'm riding down the street in my neighborhood and just see so many black men during the middle of the day that are normal working hours, just hanging out on the corner, drinking beer, you know, smoking weed, smoking cigarettes, just hanging out. Each one of those black men represent a fallen black household, because without a black man in a household, being a husband, a father to his you know, to his wife and his kids, that has weakened our entire community. You know, we as Black people at one time had the strongest family community type units ever on in the United States, period. We got married through even through slavery and through possibility of persecution and death or injury. We were still getting married and raising families together. You know, we were white people would break us up by selling them off, getting them off the plantation, sell the kids, break the family up. But we still, as a Black people, found a way through struggle and through Christ to stay together and be a family unit and work and show productivity as a Black family unit. But nowadays, there has been so many obstacles and structures put in the way to break up the, you know, to diminish the Black man's power, to break up the Black family unit, to just weaken us as a culture and as a family unit, because there is power in unity. And believe me, white folks do not want us to get together and unify or be strong in our culture and understand who we truly are and the power that we possess. So we have to, as Black men, we have to get back to our responsibilities to our society. We have a responsibility to help raise the kids that we make, not be like Johnny Appleseed, drop a seed here and run off and go somewhere else and start a family somewhere else and have kids over here. I had an uncle, you know, my uncle was a great guy. He was a very handsome dude, you know, well-spoken, great man, just to be honest with you. But my uncle had so many kids, some of them met at his funeral. He had so many kids all over the place. He was one of those guys who felt like his stature was determined by how many women he could, you know, deal with at a time and how many kids he had. Like I said, he had children who did not even, brothers and sisters who met at his funeral. They had never seen each other or heard of each other before. And that to me right there was just a tragic family structure. That did not have to be. And that was just the manifestation of what I'm talking about when I say that we got to get back to our responsibility as Black men and start taking care of our society. And it starts right here at home with us. Yeah, go ahead. I have another question coming up. Hold on, y'all. What you got,
Mom? It's a statement. Uh-huh. I say, this is Keisha. She says, I say a heterosexual woman who says she doesn't need a man is misinformed. Then Bernard Lane says, no, they don't want that. The younger generation is making that strong stance.
Well, I understand that because there are a lot of women who, let's just say they've given up. You know, they've given up because the Black man has not stepped up. There is a limited pool to fish in, not counting the ones that are in the penitentiary, the ones who are gay, the ones who are not functioning as men, those who are unemployable, those who cannot financially help a woman, but they want to be with a woman. I don't blame some women for, you know, giving up, but to say that you don't need a man is a lie, plain and simple. Because let me tell you something, the human being as a person, as a creation of God, was not meant to be by themselves. God's ordained a man and a woman to be together. He said it in the Bible that man should not be by himself. He needs a helpmate. And for a woman is not complete unless she has a man, and a man is not complete unless he has a woman. Period. That's by God's design. The rib and the rib cage need each other to be complete. You know, so we have to get back to a Christian outlook on life, a get back to God's ordination of what a man and a woman should be, and what his true intent was for our creation. We are meant to get together and be fruitful and multiply, but that does not mean multiply with everybody. Be fruitful all over the earth. What you want to do is you mean to get with your wife or your husband and be fruitful and multiply and raise a family, because that unit is what makes the entire society healthier, stronger, and produces better human beings and makes society better. So any woman that says, I don't need a man, any man that says, I don't need a woman, is a damn lie, period. Because we all need each other. We are here to serve and support one another, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I know as a married man, I was divorced for 25 years. And many people say, well, man, how would you get married after 25 years of being divorced? Let me tell you something. I played every game you could think of. I thought I was a pimp, a player, a hustler, or this or that and everything. And I ran from so many responsibilities to God had to sit me down and say, look here, man. He sent me to the penitentiary and sat me down and said, look here, man. I got something else for you to do. This is not your life. Ain't nothing working, because I ain't gonna let it work, because you are not coming to your true calling and the intent that I put you here for. So until I set my behind down and got myself together and got my mind right and got closer to my creator, then was I blessed with a beautiful, loving, supportive, intellectual. I can go on with 150 adjectives. If I had a thesaurus, I could go on all night about how great this woman is. And I had said to myself, I'm good. I don't need a wife. I'm going to finish this thing out on my own. And lo and behold, God said, no, that is not what you are ordained to do. God sent me my wife. He sent me the rest of my life. You know what I'm saying? And ever since I accepted God and his true calling on my life, I haven't had a bad day. Everything has been prosperous. Everything I touch feels like it turns into gold and it's prosperous. So I thank God, and I thank the fact that I had discernment enough and he gave me enough wisdom and good sense to grab this woman and make her mine, and don't just treat her like it's a casual thing. I tell any black man, get yourself together first, then go out and find you a black woman and love on her harder than you ever loved anything in your life, and watch God's blessings come in your life. Plain and simple. Say again. And that brings rest. Exactly. I was going to say, the thing about it is, we as black people are so enamored by a finished product. We don't want to put work in to get something straight. We want it to be shiny and new when we get it. We don't want to polish nothing up. We don't want to buff it. We don't want to knock no dents out of it. We don't want to knock the rust off of it. We don't want to, you know, clean the white walls on it. We don't want to do nothing. It's got to be shiny and pretty when I get it. But nobody is like that unless they 16 years old, 17 years old, because after 16 and 17, that's when the world start putting pressure on you and start hurting you for real. You get long lasting hurt after that. So you have to understand that you are a broken product and she is a broken product. And with that, you have to be willing and insightful enough and guided by divine intervention enough to understand that y'all need to help put each other back together. Because she's going to come with some hurt and some pains from old relationships, and you're going to come with some mess too, brother. So let me tell you something. Find you a woman that's willing to help you with your mess and unpack your baggage, and you help her do the same damn thing. Because Lord knows you're going to get old one day, and let me tell you something. Ain't nothing worse than that old cat sitting over there in that corner at the club with that bottle in front of him, and he done fell a damn sleep at the table when he should have had his old behind home, still trying to hang out with the club and still trying to pick up one of the young girls and spend that little old Social Security check on him. Man, them girls get tired of that Social Security check, Pops. Let me tell you something. You don't want to be that cat. You better have you somebody in your corner that you've been taking care of, and they're going to take care of you, because it's going to be a day when y'all going to need to lean on each other. And if you ain't got nobody and you don't need nobody right now, you're going to need somebody eventually. I promise you that. Because, hey, man, look here. Your help ain't going to stay the same. As I used to tell my father before he passed, old parts wear out, brother. That's just what they do. If you keep on grinding them parts together, they're going to wear out. That's knees, elbows, back, hips, everything, ankles, toes, feet, everything start hurting. I woke up some mornings and my eyebrows hurt. So you tell me what that came from. I ain't lift nothing with my eyebrows. How in the hell they hurt? But them the kind of pains you end up having in your life if you've been doing anything with your life. And we got to understand that we all are social creatures and we need each other. We need to be loving on each other. We need to be building strong family units. We need to be responsible for one another. We need to be accountable to one another. And, it's just a lot in life, man, that we, like I used to tell people, it's only so long that you can bullshit your way through things. You know, there comes a time when you actually have to put your grown man on and weigh it. You know, and I try to tell these young cats that we are, you know, you are a man child. You know, I used to tell, I have to tell my wife sometimes, because she has two young sons, you know, and I tell her, you have to treat a man child different than you do a woman child. See, you could be sensitive and tender with a woman child and sugarcoat things for her and try to be sweet and butter up everything. But with a man child, you got to give it to him straight from the hip, because that's how the world is going to come at him. He's not going to always get talked to right. He's not going to always get treated with respect. He's not going to always get things said the way that he want them said. You know, he got to understand that the world is harsh. I learned that the hard way. You know, well, not really. I'm not going to even lie, because my daddy was a straight to the point cat. My daddy would cuss you out before he said your name real good. And that's just how he was. But he never sugarcoated anything. And it took me a while, because my daddy told me, you know, one thing. He said, look, you got enough friends in the street. I'm not going to be your friend. I'm going to be your dad. He said, you're going to be mad at me right now. You may even hate me. But one day you're going to love me and respect me for everything I put in you. See, because you have to instill certain things in a black man for him to make it in today's society. Because society is not going to even favor him. He has to understand before he leaves that house as a man that the world is against him. And if you don't equip him to fight and be ready to fight and understand that he is in a real fight, you are setting that man child up for failure. And he will be that cat that's living at his mama house when he's 45 years old. He's still in the same damn room he grew up in. He still got Prince 1999 posters on the damn wall that he had on his wall when he was in high school. And here it is, 2020, Prince dead. And he still got them posters up on his wall, because he ain't never grew up out of being that 16-year-old kid that you babied and pacified all his damn life. So you got to understand that you have to be a little more stern with a man child, period. And for a man to not be able to endure what he gets at home, He definitely won't endure what he gets in the streets. I can tell you that for sure, because I've been at the house and I've been in them streets. And let me tell you something. Them streets ain't kind. Them streets got some corners you don't want to turn on. They got some dark alleys you don't want to go down. They got some misfits and some mental midgets out there that you don't want to run into. And, you know, there's some guys out there who mean nothing but harm to whoever they come in contact with. And you have to be able to discern how to maneuver and get out of those situations, or not to even get involved in those situations. There is a lot of cunning and skill that it takes to maneuver through the streets and through American society, period, as a black man, because we are discriminated against. Like Bernard was saying, we have to fight against Europeans and we have to fight against our own black people. And the thing is, sometimes black people have come, as they say, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, they'll be smiling in your face and stab you in the back at the same time. And there's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of self-hate and a lot of just get overness. I don't know if that's a word, but we're going to use it today. Get overness in the black community, man. We try to get pass on each other, man. We try to pull the wool over each other's eyes. That's why there's so much distrust, because, you know, we couldn't trust each other during the slavery times, and we have never developed the trust, man, because there are so many backstabbing, jealous hearted, want to be in your place type people out there in our own black community. Instead of helping a brother up, we'd rather step on his hand and push him off the ledge, rather than just bending down and bend your back a little bit and lean and help him up. And if y'all get together, y'all can work together and make something work out. But man, we as a society are really ridiculous when it comes to working together, brothers working together. It's ridiculous, man. And I, you know, really just have to laugh sometimes to keep from crying, because, you know, if you really, really, and then the thing about it is, a lot of times, because I can tell you this, I am one of those people who have tried to help brothers over and over again, and I have been let down over and over again. But let me tell you something about me. I never give up on my people. I don't care how many times I'm disappointed by other black men or other black business owners, other black this or that. I will never stop supporting black. Because we all we got, man. Really and truly, you have to understand that we were all we had on that slave ship. We are all we had through slavery. We all we had through the civil rights movement. We've all we had in the late 80s when they tried to put the whole black race on crack. We were all we had during the just the 70s when they were trying to beat us into the ground. Dogs and water hoses and all of that. We would go to church and get together and sing songs of "We Shall Overcome" and help each other out. We were able to pull off boycotts and all that because black people worked together and made it happen. Nowadays, you can't get us to work together on nothing. You can put I come to realize that there are brothers who have good jobs and their jobs will be hiring, and they won't tell another brother, "Hey man, come on out here and get a job out here where I'm at," because they feel like if you come out there and get a job where they're at, they're going to lose some of their income or something. I don't know how the hell you figure that, because they pay everybody a fair wage wherever you at working if you got a good job. But that's just how black people function. And I understand that sometimes you will help a guy and he get on the job and he disappoints you. But you still can't stop and give up on your people because of one bad apple. You look for another apple. That's all you have to do. Because there are so many different personalities, so many different educated brothers out there, and so many who are lacking simply an opportunity to prove themselves. But so we need to just understand that we as a people and as a society need to start working together again. Because we can't go on like this, man. We are standing around hollering Black Lives Matter, this and that, protesting this and that, but Black lives don't even matter to us. We don't even treat each other right. We kill each other every day. We hurt each other. We victimize each other. We brutalize one another. But when the white folks do it, we want to scream and holler. But you have done it to your own society and in your own social circles time and time again. So if you don't respect you and you don't treat you right, let me tell you something. White people not going to do it either. You can't expect them to. They are used to mistreating us because their ancestors mistreated us. And for us not to even treat each other right, they're definitely not going to adhere to it and start treating us right. So I understand the Black Lives Matter mantra, but let's make Black Lives Matter for real. And not only holler and shout about it, but let's show some Black Lives Matter action. Get out and help one another and get out and vote. And let's, turn these protests into action. Let's, realize the dream that Martin Luther King had and Malcolm had and so many other great leaders before them and after them have had. But we got to quit looking for a person to be a leader, Black men. And we got to be leaders in our own home first. Leadership starts with you. Black man, I am calling on you today, as of today. I want you to, if you can hear my voice, I am giving you a challenge. Get yourself together, brother. Stop all the smoking. Stop all the drinking. Stop all the cursing. Stop all the taking yourself out of the game. Get up, go find your job. Go get you some skills. Go to school as long as you can. Get as much education as you can and use it. Now, it's one thing to get education. It's another thing to make it practical and use it. So I'm saying this first because that is the first thing you need to do is get yourself together. Then once you get you together and you get yourself on a good streaming path, I want you to find you a good Black woman. And I do mean that. Find you a good Black woman. And that's just all it is to it. And she may have kids already, but that's okay. That's okay. What you do is you get with that Black woman and you help her with them kids. And you take the responsibility that another one of us walked away from. You see what I'm saying? Because each one of us have to take up the slack for the other. Because that's how a community works. You see what I'm saying? So I know they may not be your kids, but you treat them like they're your damn kids. And you treat that woman like that's your wife. And make her your wife. You know, make an honest woman out of her. And quit lallygagging your life away, brother. Quit, because that's all you're doing. You are taking yourself out of the game. And that's all the white people want to see you do. That's one less one of us that they have to deal with. So if you nullify yourself, I don't want to hear you talking about the white man is keeping you down, because there's no white man assigned to keeping you down, brother, when you already keeping your damn self down. Get your butt up earlier than 11 o'clock in the morning. Get your behind out there and clean yourself up and go find you a job. Go fill out some applications. Get on the bus, on a bicycle, skateboard, whatever you got to do to get there. But go and get yourself some gainful employment and start getting yourself together. Because I am a firm believer, just like women, you say, there's no romance without finance. Brother, you cannot do a thing in America without money in your pocket and a good stream of income coming into your household. You cannot build a household that's worth a damn. And that's just all it is to it. There is no romance without finance. And I don't blame you women for that. Because if a brother is not willing to show himself worthy, I don't blame you for not giving up the goods. I don't blame you for not dealing with him. I don't blame you for going to the other race. I don't blame you for going to each other. I'm just being honest with you. That's just how I feel. I understand your plight because I was a barber for so many years, and I could not believe the stream of idiots that came into that barbershop and the conversations that I was privy to that you women have never heard, But those conversations reveal to me how many idiots we have just floating around in this society. There were a few of those brothers that I told they were modern miracles of science, because I did not understand how they got as old as they had gotten by being as crazy as they were. And they would have some conversations later that I was like, ain't nowhere in the world a woman is dealing with that right there. But I know that y'all try. I know y'all try to make, look, as I used to say, you trying to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, out of chicken crap. Yeah, it ain't going to work. I don't care what kind of seasoning you put in, it's still going to be, you know, crap. So I understand what your plight is. I sympathize with you and empathize with you. That's why I grabbed me the best one I could find and that would adhere to me and would love on me. And I decided and made up my mind that I was going to love on her and take care of her from now on. And that's just what we have to do. You have to make a conscious decision in a relationship that you guys are going to be together and nurture each other and take care and repair each other. Now, once you start repairing her, you'll find out that she works just fine. And she start repairing you, she'll find out you work just fine. You might have had a dent in you before, but she knocked that dent out. She washed that thing off. She waxed it. She buffed it. She polished it. Next thing you know, that thing was shiny and looked good going down the street. You know what I'm saying? So, fellas, you just have to be what do they call it? You have to be cognitive of what you're doing with your life and how to better yourself first and then be better for our society, because we got a lot of work to do. And I'm going to just be honest with you. I don't care what nobody say. Most of the work starts with the black men. Black men, we have been running from responsibility since the Garden of Eden. We do not want to be responsible for our mistakes, our foolishness, our shortcomings, we don't want to be called out on it either. We don't want to be called out on it. I want a woman, let me tell you something, my wife will call me out on my crap. If I'm around here tripping and slacking, I want that kind of woman in my life that's going to make me a better man every day of my life. She will tell me, hey, man, that was stupid. Don't do that no more. Hey, man, that ain't how you're supposed to do that. And guess what? Me being a grown man and not being an idiot about correction, I listen to what she got to say. I discern it. I counsel it with God, and I keep on moving, and I make the adjustments that are necessary. And that's how I live my life from now on. I have been granted a second chance and a second shot of wisdom. You know, my first shot wore off, so I had to get a second shot, and God gave me a second chance. So I take nothing for granted now. I relish every day, and I embrace every day as a new opportunity to get it right. So black men, let's start getting it right, man. Let's quit BSing our way through life. You know, because we have BSed our way right into Donald Trump being in the office. And brother, let me tell you something. If we keep on BSing, we're gonna be back in the fields picking cotton, plantation and slavery. And let me tell you something. I am too old and too lazy to be out in the field picking anything other than my nose. That's the only thing that I want to pick, and I don't like doing that. So let's get out here and vote and get ourselves together, brothers, and quit nullifying yourself and find you a good, blunt, strong black woman that's going to help take care of you, and you're going to help take care of her, and let's start rebuilding our family structures and getting these households together.
All right, let's couple of comments before you get off.
Okay, go ahead. I love comments.
Then we're going to do Hood or Shenette.
Oh, my God. Hood or Shenette.
Right. So we got Bernard. He said, not just a black woman or a man, a good black woman.
Right. Amen.
He also said, you was talking about me. What's telling that? You when you did some foolery. So he said, she's supposed to. I'm supposed to tell you.
Right, okay. Right. Bernard, like I said, brother, I welcome it. Because my wife, let me tell you something, man. When me and my wife first met, I was staying in a two-bedroom apartment with a roommate, right? I had a TV hanging on the wall and a couch in my living room, a piece of a couch in my living room. I ain't going to say a couch because it was a sectional. That wasn't the whole sectional in the living room. And that was it. That's all I had in my bedroom furniture. And now here I am in a 3-bedroom house with furniture I got to get past and step over and slide to the, and pictures hanging all on the wall and house decorated. It looked like a woman lived here. And I get so comfortable in here sometimes, but no, I'll be sitting in the chair, just fall asleep. You know what I'm saying? But that's what a woman does for you. She makes your life better and comfortable. And I love it. I'm not going to even lie to you. And like I said, at one point, I thought I was going to be player till I died, brother. I was a self-professed player. I'm going to play until the last day, baby.
Okay.
But I couldn't.
His comment was, I don't want no woman letting me be foolish out here.
Exactly. Let me tell you something, dog.
But let me give you the last comment.
You are a representative of her, and she is a representative of you, and you're right. She ain't a good woman, ain't gonna let you be a fool out here. She not about to do it. My wife ain't gonna let me be no fool. She ain't gonna let me walk out the house looking any kind of way. She gonna be like, baby, you don't need that right there. Take that off. You need to put something else on. Let me iron that for you. Let me fix that right there. Let me straighten this button up. You know, I get all that, but no, sometimes I feel like I'm a dress up doll around this house. But hey man, let me tell you something. When I step out, I'm strutting. I'm just going to be honest with you because I know my wife got me looking right and I'm looking good and I'm representing her. And she do the same thing when I take her somewhere. I have no problem showing off that little short woman of mine. Yes, sir, because she's going to be right.
Okay, the Lord made a comment towards what you said about if the rape we're going, we're going to end up picking cotton again.
Right.
Put civil war, I guess you say. Right. Picking cotton.
What's that, Bernard? You gonna fight before they come out with that picking cotton? I know that, right? But look here, I'm gonna load mine up too and get out there. I ain't gonna lie, they gonna have to kill me because I can't get in them fields, bro. It's just not gonna happen. My back and I ain't built for that, man. That sun is. It feel like it be sitting on my shoulder when I'm outside just walking around. So I know that gun well. I can't get out no field and pick nothing.
So
they
gonna have to give you some benefits for picking cotton. I need those
with
Social Security.
Yeah, they're going to, I'm going to file for disability. I'm picking cotton. I can't do it, baby. And look here. I'm on blood pressure medicine. I can't be out there in that sun. I'm going to come up with all kind of reasons why I can't be out there. I'm telling you now, I have a brain on me. Look, or either that, I'm going to be in the house cooking. I'm going to be one of them house Negroes that y'all talk about. Boss, is we sick?
Is we sick?
That's me. And I'm in there steady stirring and fixing spaghetti and everything else. And eating good. I promise you.
And sneaking me a plate.
Exactly. Now my wife gonna be in there with me. She gonna
be in there with you.
Yeah, you're gonna be the house girl. You're gonna be cleaning up inside with me.
I ain't gonna do it. I gotta be outside having church.
Okay, well that's Sunday though. That's Sunday.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's
I'm gonna be a little Nat Turner in me though. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a little Nat Turner.
I got
a little Nat Turner in me and a little Harry. Look at a little Harry Tubman. I'm gonna take some people with me.
Sold
out. Yeah, we gonna.
Who is Shanetti?
Yeah. Let me tell y'all what I seen this week. I love my kids. In the neighborhood, the ghetto games that we used to play, man. Let me tell you something. I love it. It ain't really a shenanigan because I did it when I was a kid. I love to see them little kids take a shopping basket because they ain't got no money for their mama and them to buy them a basketball hoop. So they be out there dribbling and crossing over with a kickball. It don't matter what kind of ball it is. They out there crossing over and dribbling. And learning what they call it agility and speed and all of that balance and all that, and they playing basketball in a flipped over shopping cart, dunking and everything. I say, boy, look here, if this ain't my hood, and I love every bit of it. We had ghetto games from day one, baby. We played games like four square, one hop. All kind of stick ball, you know what I'm saying? We played hot ball, whatever. We played all kind of ghetto games, man. Let me tell you something. There is so much creativity and ingenuity that can be harvested out of our neighborhoods, but we don't give it an opportunity. We don't nurture it. We don't support it. We don't raise it up right. We don't guide it right. We just let it fizzle out, you know, because these young kids in our neighborhoods are born with ingenuity, creativity, insight, enlightenment. And so much of it end up going to the wayside, because the same brother that's out there on that corner slinging that dope and adding that up and measuring them grams in his head and putting that money together and knowing how much it's going to take to re-up and doing his math and his percentages and how much it take to cut up a dime rock and a 20. Come on, man. That's a brother that could have been a hell of an accountant if he had gone to school and been nurtured in that way. He would have been a hell of a banker or a businessman or something other than that dope man on that corner. And next thing you know, that brother is in the penitentiary for 35, 40 years, and all of that potential was either put in the penitentiary or end up in the ground. And that's happened so often in our neighborhoods. You know, that is really ridiculous. And that's why when I see young brothers that are trying and are enthusiastic about certain things, I try to help them out and nurture them. And look here, man, because I wish that a lot of young men had the opportunity that I had. I had uncles and a father who grabbed me and said, hey, man, look, we're going to show you how to do this. We're going to show you how to do that. I knew how to drive an 18-wheeler when I was 14, 15 years old because my dad was a truck driver. My uncles were truck drivers. And we were taught to be earners, just like in the mafia. You know how they say you're an earner? Well, my family, the men of my generation and the generation right under me, all of the boys, we were taught to be earners. We were taught how to work with the power of working and a good hard day's work would bring to you the enjoyment. The slumber of a hardworking man is sweet. We were just taught that as an early age, and that was bred into us. And that's the same way we have to be with our young kids today, because so many times these kids are left without a father, without a male figure in their life, and mother coddles them as a male child. And they are raised without that being put in them. And if you don't deposit that into a young black man early, you end up with a sorry old black man, because he has never learned the power of a hard day's work, the satisfaction of a hard day's work, the enjoyment of a hard day's work. You know, there is a lot to be said about a hardworking man. Don't get me wrong. You can be hardworking with your mind too. It doesn't always mean your back, because let me tell you something. I got smart as my back got older. I had to learn a new skill and get my behind in a barbershop where them clippers weren't so heavy. You know, so I had to evolve, but I still had the same core values throughout my evolution. See, so you have to understand that we as black men, like I said, I'm going to just stay on you brothers. I don't care about you getting mad, man. Let me tell you something. I'm speaking from experience. We got to make it happen, brother. I had to learn through attrition and through failure to become a make it happen type brother. So I know exactly the struggles that are out there, the pitfalls, the enemy, the fights that we have to go through. But there comes a time when you can't BS your way through it, brother. You really just got to do it. You know, we can't sugarcoat it. We can't panty around with it. We can't do nothing but do it. That's it. You got to stand up and put your grown man on and do it. Be a man. That's all I ask, brother. That's the mantra for this week. We're going to get out there and start getting ourselves together, and then we're going to chip away at it and get our society and our community and our households together. So, brothers, this is JD from JD's Man Cave signing off. And I appreciate y'all for tuning in. And Bernard Lane, I thank you, brother, for the comments. And it's been great talking and passing on my information and my insight. So, man, look, I'll see y'all again next week. Same time, 7 o'clock on JD's Man Cave. Y'all have a great week. See y'all next time.